Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're continuing to talk about just getting some basics about our approach and in how we are trying to address Christianity, our relationship with God, in a real practical sense. It doesn't do us any good to have right doctrine without real relationship. It doesn't matter if you believe there is a God if you don't know him. And we have a living God whose desire is to reveal himself, to make himself known, to then bring us into the wholeness and oneness that he intended us to be living in now here on this earth. Now, he made us, so he knows our limitations and our liabilities. We are often so hard on ourselves and so hard on others, much harder than he is. So part of the change that's going to take place is we are going to often change our beliefs about what God thinks of others, what God thinks of us, and what we think of others and what we think of God and what we think of ourselves. So we have a lot of changing to do, and yet in our spirit, there's no change going on. And this is where we often get so caught up that we need to spiritually mature, when really it's not even a matter of maturing. Maturing is developing a level of being more equipped to deal with life based on age. Now, you and I both know people who have achieved a high level of age and yet are still pretty dang immature. So in the natural, immaturity, we understand, doesn't necessarily come with longevity. And soulically, maturity is not automatic either. We often think that someone who's been a Christian a long time is somehow closer to God or has more wisdom or is more attuned to God, and we should take their advice. They have a greater authority and wisdom, and sometimes even responsibility. When we look at that from a practical standpoint, though, we find out, just as in natural maturity, soulical authority does not come just because someone's been a Christian a long time. So we look at what's going on in their lives. What is the evidence of their relationship with God? And in an overall sense, Why are we looking at them? Why is there such an emphasis on leadership? And there no doubt is. But why? Is it could it be that we are just so not used to the idea of being able to have a one-on-one relationship with God himself, so that he is our authority, he is our leader? And we could go back to our wonderful example of Jesus himself. Who was his leader? Who taught him what he learned? Who taught him how to be the Son of God? Was it a favorite priest? Was it the leaders in his town? Was it his father or mother or older brothers? No, we know he learned what he learned from his father. He was focused on becoming one and being one with his father. And he accepted that complete reality. It was not surprising to him that he and the father were one. He saw that as a natural consequence of relationship, of being born the father. Now, you and I weren't always that way. Jesus was always that way. He was born literally and solically of the Father, of God. You and I weren't. So there's that distinction there. But if we are born again, we do become born of the Father. That which is born of spirit is spirit. There's only one spirit, and that's God. So if we are born of him and now joint heirs with Christ and co-inheritors of everything that Jesus has and is, we have also inherited and now enjoy that oneness with the Father. So God himself is now your authority. He is your leader. He is your pastor, your shepherd. Jesus is the only mediator you will ever need. And right now, that mediation was done 2,000 years ago to bring you into relationship with the Father. Now that mediation is going on spirit to spirit. God right now is fully accepting of you right now. You don't have to change ever. He is 100% happy with who and what you are, because spiritually you have been perfected and are one in him and with him. Our problem is our soul. Our soul, left on its own, is doing its own thing and is in the process of being freed from doing its own thing. Your soul is doing its own thing. It can't receive the eternal life that is available in your spirit right now. Your spirit is on the same side of the wall with God. Your soul is trapped in prison. That prison was made by the soul to protect it, to preserve its own resources. But the spirit is desiring to get it out. The soul doesn't necessarily want to come out. There's areas where odds are you recognize you're in bondage, you recognize you're wounded and need healing. But odds are what's really keeping you in that prison are protections And some of those protections are your beliefs. And this is what we, when we start looking at it, what we believe and who we are looking to teach us how to know God. They don't work. They're very limited. And when we look at the whole purpose of why God sent his son, it was so that the veil would be rent and we could come boldly before the throne, first the mercy seat, and then the very throne of God. We come. We do it ourselves. We don't, no pastor comes and takes us by the hand. No apostle, no prophet, no teacher. Nobody comes and says, okay, this is the way, walk ye in it. God says that this is the way. He says, taste and see, experience. This is a personal relationship with God. This is what makes Christianity different than any other religion, any other faith, any other belief system, is we have a living God that we can have, moment by moment, a living relationship with. Now, as diverse as God's body is, you know, we all have different circumstances. But we all are dealing with the same kinds of problems. In general, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those that are dead spiritually and those that are alive spiritually. We can't have the same expectations for those who are dead as those who are alive. You are either a dead sinner or a living saint. You can't be you were a sinner saved by grace, but once you were saved, you were no longer a sinner. Now, your soul continues to do its own thing, but that's not you. Your identity is in the spiritual realm, and if you are alive in your spirit, you are alive, period. But our expectations on the sinners, on those who are dead, they can't do anything else but sin. Even their good works are death because they cannot come from eternal life. Now, we won't get into how does God deal with that? That's for another day. But we want to look at and see where we fit in, that we can look at what is really keeping us from eternal life and enjoying being in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom now. It doesn't need to be built. It is entered. And we entered it with Christ. He said, the kingdom is in your midst. And we can take that a couple different ways. It's either in our middle, or it's him. He is the kingdom. And have we entered in? Yes. Spiritually, you did. Period. You don't go in and out. You are in. You have received the eternal life. You're done. So then, how do we know how we're doing? How do we spell success? How do we judge how we're doing? And we all have that desire to do that. And for many of us, that's really what we're looking to those in authority for, to let us know how we're doing. Because in a lot of ways, that this is part of the world system, is that's the bottom line, is how are we doing? Are we on the right track? Are we making God happy? We're not talking about what organized religion calls success. We're not talking about achieving goals or not sinning or fulfilling our calling or perfecting our gifts or being in full-time ministry. And you can probably add to that list what in your mind is success. Overcoming a personal challenge that you feel is keeping you from being and doing what God wants you to be and do. You fill in your blanks. Yet that's not what God says success is. In your spirit, you have already achieved success. So then, what are we doing here? We're working on our soul. And in your soul, our true success, our true purpose and calling is to live in the spirit, solically, just as we are in the spirit. To have our soul aligned with the spirit and receiving its life and direction and energy and encouragement and correction from spirit. So part of our goal through these teachings is to better understand what that looks like, how to do that, and change our beliefs, and then do it. Knowing God is something we can actively do. So for our purposes, on a moment-by-moment basis, living in the Spirit, moving, walking, and being in Spirit, with our Spirit being aligned with His, that's, we could call that depending on God for our very life, for meeting our needs, for guidance and direction. Now, that does not mean He's not going to put people in our lives to encourage, to guide, to correct. But they are not in substitution for God. They do not represent Him. They are not the mediators. They are not to be elevated, our own soul. You only have one throne in your life. Most of us, our soul is sitting on that throne the most of the time, and occasionally we allow others to sit on our throne when it should simply be the Spirit of God, with our spirit joined into His. So if you want to get along with God, stay out of His throne. And don't let anybody else sit in it either. Most of us, we would have no idea. We really don't have any idea what it would look like to truly live the Christian life here. Think about Jesus. He was only in public ministry 3.5 years, and He turned the world upside down. He spoke, he taught, and He did some miracles. But there was something in those miracles. There was something in His teaching that had the authority, the life, the power, that met the people's needs. And this is even before the resurrection. even before he went to his Father. So how much more does the eternal life that we have meet our needs and as well meet others' needs? So when we start to think about for ourselves, what would it look like to live the Christian life? What would it feel like to have all of your needs met, all of your wounds healed? If you were perfectly free and perfectly joined to God here on this earth, what would that be like? Would we think differently? Would we act differently? Would we be different? I encourage you to take some time and ask God, how would our lives be different if we really believed and then acted as if and then acted on that God is already completely satisfied with us spiritually, but we are now working on our soul to receive the eternal life that we have already been given. We already have everything we need for life and godliness now. And this is where we, again, come back to what we've been taught, is what we're learning practical? Can we apply what we're being taught to our daily life? We want to be able to stop going around the mountain from one crisis to another, from one teaching to another, from one doctrine. There seems to be a cycle. And finally learn how to walk daily, overcomers God says we are now. Now, there's going to be times when we don't feel happy or our circumstances are bad. But is there something we can actually do to live in that promised rest and peace today? This is what we're learning how to do. It's simpler than you might think, but it takes work. It takes effort on your part because your soul doesn't want to give up the control it has. Now, again, it's simple. We learn to hear his voice, we learn how to test it, and we act on it. Because God wants you free. God wants your soul. His goal is your soul to be aligned with your spirit so that we would be one as he is one. So he's going to get eventually in this life or the next, or the next or the next, he's going to get his goals accomplished. But if we want to cooperate with him, we're going to have to let him control the circumstances. We're going to have to let him decide this is a wound that needs to be healed. This is a belief system that needs to be changed. And a lot of times what's bugging us doesn't bother him at all. But what bothers him, what the soul is controlling against God, it may be something we hadn't even thought was any big deal. And a lot of this is what we think and what we believe. Now, man likes to make complex what God has made simple. One of the things we do in these teachings, hopefully, is to unravel some of the knots of doctrine and bring into light some of the things being taught in organized religion that are contrary to what God says is truth. Now, we're not going to do that by pointing out the errors in what others teach. Instead, we're going to emphasize what we have heard from God and what we have tested and what works for us. Always coming back to, you take it to God. You learn to hear from Him. You have your ears cleaned and practiced and able to identify His voice. Learn how to hear the enemy, how to test it, and find out if these things work for you. It's scary to not be with the group, to launch out on your own, to have that personal relationship with God. It's sometimes we feel it's safer to be in the group. But there will always be a majority who play it safe. If there is any desire in you to know God better than you do now, that is coming from God. He wants you to know Him better than you do now. If you are dissatisfied, or if any about what we're talking about stirs up any kind of a desire or curiosity even, that's coming from God. It's the goodness of God that draws us, not the fear of displeasing Him or punishment or judgment. And there's so much fear of judgment running rampant right now, and it becomes a stronghold. And so many of the things we believe are harmless on their own, but we give an opportunity for the enemies, our enemies, to take advantage when we don't have that strength of our relationship with God and have that habit of listening for His voice, testing what we hear, and then acting on it. So keep an ear out for what the Spirit is saying to you. You are the church. And when He bids you to come up hither, come. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. It is hard. It's just not that complicated. So feel free to drop me any questions. Drop me a line with any questions you might have regarding how to implement this in your life. If you've got any specific questions you'd like to address, in the meantime, you can drop me a line through Blog Talk Radio, through the website, or drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. And go to God and ask Him, is there an area that He wants to talk to you about? It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. But then we're learning to develop our senses so we can hear Him, test what we hear, and then act on it. So we'll be getting back together again, this time next week. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.